Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Viewpoints Podcast on the UBS Market Moves Podcast Channel, a podcast series with my colleague, Burkhard Varnholt, where we do like to update you on developments throughout the global market and macro landscape. Burkhard, thank you for dropping by on this Thursday morning for spending some time with our listeners and our clients. Welcome back.
Thank you, Dan. It's a great pleasure.
So, Burkhard, a lot of developments occurring around the world. For today, I thought I would raise three questions with you. The first one is on markets. Then I thought we would spend a few moments on politics. And then to wrap up on the lighter side, we could spend some time discussing summer holidays. Though, let's begin with the markets. It has been an exceptionally good first half of the year for markets. Many indices around the world hitting all-time highs, consistent with your bullishness this year. Now, yesterday, this was interesting. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell hinted at the possibility of rate cuts, and markets continued to grind higher. So, Burkhard, what's your sense of direction from here? Could markets melt up, or is too much confidence bearish from a contrarian perspective?
All good questions. Let me take three points here, then. Of course, overconfidence tends to be a bearish signal for contrarian traders. However, I would argue that this time might indeed be different, given that a record amount of $6.3 trillion is parked in cash and money markets. These funds have more than doubled during the last 5 years to a new all-time high right now. And if the Fed does cut rates, it could actually drive a wall of money into stocks and bonds. My second point would be, it seems that the stock and bond market have been discounting our roaring 20s scenario, which we've been arguing for long, faster than expected. Since June, the stock market's been in a slow motion melt-up, and some economic bad news, like the recent unemployment numbers, are currently good news as investors are betting on the prospect of Fed rate cuts. Markets are now signaling 425 basis point rate cuts over the next 12 months. Yesterday's congressional testimony by Jerome Powell suggests that a first cut as early as September is possible. If tomorrow's CPI surprises to the downside, that too could lift bonds and add fuel to the stock market's fire. And my third thought is, you know, we still believe in our roaring 20s scenario. We still believe that by the end of this decade, it could lift the Dow to 60,000 and the S&P to 8,000 points by the end of this decade. And behind this are productivity gains, a wave of innovation, and the rise of a new world order. And while others have fretted that the market's narrow tech leadership might be bearish, we observe that there's also been a bull market in the remaining S&P 493, not as rapid, but also certainly a bull market, and it could broaden in response to, who knows, better than expected Q2 earnings and to more non-tech company managements explaining how they are using AI to cut costs and raise productivity. So then I quote the old saying, if it walks like a duck, swims like a duck, and quacks like a duck, then it probably is a duck. And I'd rephrase it into, if it looks like a bull, runs like a bull, and roars like a bull, then it probably is a bull market. Let me just add that obviously stocks aren't our only beneficiaries. We're still overweight quality bonds whose risk-adjusted returns stand out. And of course, these two bull markets are really reinforcing each other.
Besides bulls and bears, there are also polls and votes and debates, all of which pull a lot of media attention. Now, while today we don't need to dissect the fallout of the U.S. presidential debate a couple of weeks ago, there has been plenty of coverage on that. I would like to hear your thoughts on the outcomes of the French and the U.K. snap elections that took place recently.
Sure. Let me start with France. You know, many are flabbergasted by the heated debates and the societal divisions, which became rather evident. And yet, the rather predictable outcome of yet another hung parliament should neither sink nor save the country. Best case, in my book would be a technocratic government, but then France never managed to do that in the past. More likely seems that the French risk appetite, that the French risk premia remain elevated. Stocks probably offer limited upside in our view. French government bonds still look unappealing. However, I want to be clear, we don't think in any way that France is heading for crisis, neither are the Eurozone, the EU, or Europe. So I'm really shaking my head on this and thinking in French, tout ça pour ça. Why has all this happened for so little? Now to the UK. I mean, after 14 hapless years of Tory rule, that Labour's landslide win was entirely foreseen by all polls. And I will say hats off to the first press conference by the new government, in particular Rachel Reeves, the new Chancellor of the Exchequer. Sterling and gilts rose upon her passionate plead for growth, investment and reform. She stressed three times that growth, investment and reform must now be national priorities. And if she executes on her proposed pension reform, which will force pension funds to allocate more to UK companies and to private equity, that should support our preference for UK stocks. With a firm majority and no time to lose, the opportunities to drive UK growth look tangible to us.
Burkhardt, if we turn to the lighter side, last but not least, many of our audience are soon off to their well-deserved summer holidays. I understand you will be as well, which is great. Knowing that you're an avid reader, would you have any holiday book recommendations for our audience?
That will be my absolute pleasure, of course. I'll pick Lauren Groff's The Wild Vast. It's a new novel. It is an absolutely captivating novel, which is hard not to love. It takes us on the mesmerizing outer and inner journey of the emigrant girl Lamentatio in the American wild west of the early 17th century. Deep in the woods, she's on the run. Her hands are bloody. Her heart is righteous. And her head is full of scripture. She knows that she'll be followed. And so she runs. And we run alongside her out into the great and terrible wilderness. It's an unforgettable American novel. It reads like a hymn of endurance. And it's a lean and hungry book. Bears gnawed bone, rooted in the tradition of American realism, which spans, of course, from Jack London, Stephen Crane, to Hernan Diaz today. Lauren Groff, its author, is not lost in the forest. She knows exactly where she's going. She's been a three-time National Book Award finalist. This one may add to it. I suggest you read it. If you don't like it, I'll reimburse you.
Well, Burkhardt, that sounds like a fascinating recommendation. Thank you for sharing, as well as sharing with us today your viewpoints on some timely developments within the global political space, as well as what we're currently seeing across global markets. So wish you a relaxing time away over the next couple of weeks, and do look forward to resuming our conversation when you return from holiday.
Same here, Dan. Thank you very much. Enjoy summer. Make the best of it, and goodbye for now.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights, at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.